But Father, we thank you for those words through our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight we're going to do a sharing on the birth of Yahushua. And this is going to be so contrary to so much that we've been raised with. And we've got to realize all of us have been deceived by our traditions. That there was two crucified with Christ, no, there's actually four. And that Christ died on Good Friday and got up on Sunday morning, a day and a half. Now he died on Wednesday and got up on Saturday, at a sunset. So we've got one thing after, we don't even know the Creator's name, which is even Yahweh. And we think he named his son Jesus when he did it. He didn't name his son Jesus, he named his son Yahushua. So all this lies have been told to us, all right, it's just another thing that we're going to cover. Christ did not was not born on December 25th, which obviously, if you even think about it, making sense, we know that Mary and Joseph had to go to Jerusalem for the, registration. Well, they're in the northern hemisphere. That's winter. You don't have people, I mean, even in your common sense, you don't have people, going from Nazareth to Jerusalem is at least a 3 to 4 day journey in the winter time. And when would it be the best time to go? It would be obviously
holiday.
Yeah, it would be on what they call the month of Tishri, which is usually September. So we're going to find out, and why is that? Because the harvest is over, and the biggest month possible was Tishri, the month of Tishri. There were three festivals going on, which we're going to see. It's going to be their new year, Tishri 1. That's Genesis 1-3. And let there be light. And that's the day Christ was born on, Tishri 1. It was a new moon. And then you have Day of Propitiation, which is Tishri 10. And then you have Festival of Booths, which is harvest time. Harvest is done, and you get to celebrate for 7 days. And so there's three festival feast days where people had to be there. They had to be there at Passover, which is also a feast of unleavened bread, which is around March. You had to be there at Pentecost, or a feast of weeks. Feast of Weeks, all right, which is 50 days after Passover. And then you have the Tishri month, and that's where obviously it makes the most sense. If you're going to tax or register people, the best time to come to Jerusalem is in September. And we're going to find out he was born on, according to Dr. Rural Way Ministry, he was born on September 11th, which was Tishri 1 and 3 B.C. That's what we're going to be covering. And one of these good examples of this is a chart, which I'll put on the video that explains things. But what we can say, what happened in December? Well, we're going to see that a person can be, gestation is 266 days.
Babies.
Yeah, baby's gestation is 266 days. And so that would make, if he was born on September 11th, that means he could be conceived right around December 20th. So E.W. Bullinger believes that why people got into the celebration in December was because that was the conception of Yahushua, not the birth of Yahushua. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Now we're going to go to pin this down. Oh, and the other thing too, and everybody knows this now, the three kings of Orient are, there wasn't three kings. They were magi. They weren't kings. They were magi. And it doesn't say three. There were three presents. And that's what made it coming with three kings. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They just said the magi is a group of individuals. And they came, as we know, it was up to, according to Dr. Rural, Christ had to be 16 months old or older. So, 1 year and 4 months. And we know Herod found that out by saying, when was this child born? And they found out he's going to kill the children 2 and under. So when we look at the scenes, the magi were not in the barn. where Christ was born, giving him gifts. That came, you know, a month, I mean, it came about 14 to 16 months later, after he was born. Who was there in the barn? Is the, you know, the stable, which would be a barn today, is where you keep animals, was the shepherds. You know, they came at that particular time. And we know they were from Nazareth, and so they got circumcised in Jerusalem, you know, after 8 days, on the eighth day, not after, but on the eighth day. And they probably went back to Nazareth because they were Nazarenes. And when the Magi came, they were living in Bethlehem. Or maybe they didn't go back and they made their home in Bethlehem. But either way, they were Nazarenes that came from Nazareth. When the wise men came, they're in Bethlehem, and that's what probably confused the people, that these guys were at the same time. So we can't go by the tradition. We've got to go by this book. And turn to Revelations 12, 1 through 6. And this is Revelation, one of the last books. And this is probably the foundation of where you can, we can get when he was born. And as you know, Yahweh made the constellations and the stars and everything else for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. That's in Genesis. We know right now people navigate by the stars. They always navigated by the stars. And so they are systematic, just like our revolution around the sun, everything else is over and over and over. So if you're a ship at sea, you read the stars on how to get west, north, wherever you want to go. But in Revelations 12, 1 through 6, and a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman arrayed with the sun, and the woman is going to be the constellation Vertigo. Virgo, not Vertigo. That's a Virgo. And she's the woman in the constellation. Arrayed with the sun and the moon beneath her feet. So this tells you in Jerusalem, here we've got the constellation Virgo, and there's going to be a time where the sun and the moon are beneath her feet, which was between 6 and 7 p.m. on Tishri 1. So not only do we have a date when he was born, to the best of our knowledge, but by looking at the astronomical signs, but we're going to find out the exact time, because where the moon and the sun is beneath her feet was between 6 and 7 p.m. on Tishri 1, which was in 3 B.C., that's on September 11th. But you got to remember, September 11th is not a special day. Tishri 1 is a special day. Mm-hmm. Yahweh's calendar is lunar. You know, the moon goes around every 29 and a half days. That's the calendar. That's the calendar, the lunar calendar. We now go with a solar calendar, which, as you can see, people cannot do, because once you start going with a solar calendar, you've got to count. And so somebody's going to say, I'm going to meet you, you know, March 31st. Well, I'm going to have to start counting. And then if I miss a day, if I sleep in or something like that, I miss a day and I can't meet him at that time. But if I say I'm going to meet you at the full moon, well, I know when that is. My calendar. Because on the cycles of the moon, there's 30 cycles. And I can go ahead and meet you and range at this time according to the moon. That's our clock. So that was the clock. Let me start over again. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon beneath her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So this is the Virgo constellation. And she was with child and cried out, being in pains and in anguish to bring forth. That's the birth. And there appeared another sign in heaven, and lo, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7 diadems, and his tail draweth the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was about to bring forth, that as soon as she bring forth, he might devour her child. And he was off on that, because, now this is very interesting too. And people say, how old was Yahushua when he started his ministry?
When what? He started his
ministry. How old was he?
They'll say 30.
He was about 30. He was about 30. It's only in Luke. So about 30 does not mean he's 30 years old. So we're going to say he started his ministry at 30, and he ended his ministry at 30 and 33 and a half. No, that's all wrong too. We're going to see here in Leviticus. I'm kind of going back here. We're not going to go there. But Numbers 4, 22 to 23 is for a priest, a Levitical priest that started his office was at age 30. And he went from age 30 to age 50. And so if the adversary is going to try to plan on killing the Mashiach, Messiah, he knows when he was born, right? Because the angels declared it.
Yeah.
He tried to get him killed, he tried to get him killed 2 years later by Herod.
Yeah.
Okay, now I missed him at that time, I missed him at this time. When should I be ready to kill him? At age 30. So I know he's going to be born, and I'm going to wait till age 30 because he's going to come in and start his ministry, because that's when the Levites started their ministry, at age 30. Aha! He started at 29 probably, or 28. A year ahead of what the adversary wanted. And so when you're looking at him trying, and that's the age, about 30 was Luke 3:23. So when people started saying he was 30, no, he wasn't 30. And what is about 30 mean? One thing I do mean, it's not 30.
Yeah.
28, 29, 27. You know, how much are you rounding up? But we do absolutely know he was not 30 years old. And so according to us, we can see this is a whole other teaching, that he was never 30 when he died. His ministry was 6 months, and he went from about 30, and if Tishri 1 was his birthday, he died on Passover, which is 6 months later. So he died, 6 months before his 30th birthday, if he was 29, but he might have been 28. So he never reached the age of 30. And that is very documentary. It's a whole other teaching. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's only in Jerusalem one time. They're supposed to be there night. I mean, he's supposed to be three times a year. You know, that's another teaching we've done before. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's only there once. So that means his ministry had to be 6 months or less. Because from Tishri 1, or, the Feast of Booths, to Passover, 6 months, approximately 6 months. So we know he's there at Passover, but there's no mention of him being there before, in Jerusalem, before Passover. Only in John, and John's a whole other book. And to show you how John is so different, this is, I'm getting off the subject here, but this is very important for people who don't realize it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Yahushua went in to the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights after he was baptized, immersed. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Was he by himself?
Yes.
Yes, he was. He was tempted of the devil. In the Gospel of John, he did not. He went to a wedding feast. About 3 days later, with all his friends. And that's where he turned water into wine. Well, that can't happen. Because he's in the wilderness. Right? Mm-hmm. So, that has to be a figure of speech. When something apparently contradicts, it means it can't be literal. If I call Herod a fox, well, he's not a fox, right? So that's literal. So it must be a figure of speech. And so John is loaded with figures of speeches that go all the way through here, which is a whole other teaching altogether. Back to here. So, 3, and there appeared another sign in heaven, and lo, a great dragon. I guess we already did that.
5.
And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bring forth, and as soon as she would bring forth, he might devour her child. And she brought forth a son, a man-child, who was about to shepherd all the nations with a scepter of iron. Iron is whack people over the head. it's not a scepter of
feather.
And her child, now this is very important, and her child was caught away unto Yahweh and unto his throne. We know that. And the woman, now we're going to change the woman, is no longer Miriam. That's really Mary's name. Mary's not her name. Her name is actually Miriam. That's what her name was. But now the woman here is going to be Israel. Now we just changed. And the woman fled into the desert where she had a place prepared of Yahweh. And this is in the book of Revelation. Now we just jump from Christ being ascended unto Yahweh into the book of Revelation, where they should nourish her 1,260 days. And so, and then, you know, a great, well, let's just show you, turn the page, and 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman, water is a river, and the woman is Israel. They are being fled, and this is in the book of Revelation, where the adversary is running things. And the woman, after the woman, water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman. Isn't that great? And that's a figure of speech, because that's not literal, right?
Right.
And the earth opened her mouth. Is that literal?
No,
that's a figure of speech. And swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was angry against the woman, Israel, because Yahweh just protected Israel, and went away to make war the rest of her seed. Okay, so you see that jump, but that's not part of the teaching. So Tishri 1 is, we're going to say her conception would be around December 20th. Bollinger had, E.W. Bollinger had him born around September 29th, 4 B.C. I believe Dr. World is going to be better 100 years later to see the astronomical signs and everything else, and his book will explain that. So Tishri 1 is Genesis 1:3, which we don't have to go in the beginning, and God said, Elohim said, let there be light, and light was. A beautiful thing, because Christ was the light of the world, right? Yeah. I am the light of the world. If he was born on Tishri 1, that's when Yahweh said, let there be light. There's my son. Let there be light. What a better day that to be
cry.
Done
so
is what has happened on let there be light. And that also is a new moon. And a new moon means you can't see it. So a moon is so much, we can't see the stars in the daytime. Right?
Right.
They're there, but we can't see them. Why can't we see the moon? It's because if on our particular plane, it's in the sunlight the whole time. And so we never see it, even though it's there, because the light from the sun washes it out. We can't see the moon. But that is, Tishri 1 is a new moon. And we're going to go to Leviticus 23:23. And this is so good. And so much of the people's mistakes is, supposedly the church fathers were not Hebrews, they were Gentiles, and they don't know Hebrews. They don't know the holidays, they don't know the feast days. But Leviticus 23, we're going to learn about Tishri. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, and so here's, we're covering a lot of area. Well, I thought you said it's the first month. Yes, Tishri was the first month. When Passover came out, Yahweh said, we're going to change months now. And it was Nisan or Abib. It's called both things. That was the seventh month when they brought him out of Egypt. And Yahweh says, now this is going to be your first month. And that, you know, that's in Exodus. And so Tishri now became the seventh month.
Isn't it still Rosh Hashanah, still Tishri 1?
Yeah. Okay. But it's going to be, instead of the first month, now Tishri has become the seventh month. After, because Yahweh changed things around. So Nisan was the seventh month. Tishri is the first month. and it's also called a bib. And then once they left Egypt on Nisan, Yahweh says, we're going to make this the first month now.
That would be our
month. And then we, so this is 7 months apart, so they just switch. Now this is the first month, now this, so Tishrei becomes the seventh month. So right now, Tishrei is Genesis 1-3, but now it's going to be called the seventh month. I'm going to cram a lot in here. Mm-hmm. 24, speak unto the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, that's at Tishrei 1, shall there be unto you a sacred rest, a trumpet blowing, and actually, that's not correct, so Rothram didn't do that correct, and what this is actually called is a day of shouting. Let me see here. And the word is actually shouting, not a trumpet. A day of shouting, and that's, I think, let me see what book that's in. And Young's will translate it correctly. I think it's, I forget what book that's in, but a day of shouting, because every new moon, every month, the trumpet blew on the first. That's, as you know, so every month, the 12 months. But this is Tishrei 1, which is the day of shouting. No laborious work shall you do, but you shall bring near an altar flame unto Yahweh. That's Tishrei 1. Now we go to 26 to 27, the month of Tishrei. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, surely on the 10th of the seventh month, this is the day of propitiation. They say atonement, but atonement means at-one-ment. So that's another mistake. What's an at-one-ment mean? And it doesn't mean, I think it's kufar, which means a covering.
The word you translate trumpet is the Hebrew word Strong's number 8643, Tura, T-E-R-U-A. It means alarm, sign, shout.
Yeah, and that's what they did on the when they walked around Jericho. On the seventh day, they shouted. It's the same word. Mm-hmm. They shouted. Well, this is the day that Yahushua is going to be born. Mm-hmm. A day of shouting. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But here it is, surely on the 10th of this seventh month, is a day of propitiation. Mm-hmm. A holy convocation where shall be, therefore shall you humble your souls and bring near an altar flame unto Yahweh, and no work shall you do. Okay. And then we go into 33 and 34. It's good just to read this whole chapter. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the festival of booths for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day, a holy convocation, no laborious work shall you do. This is off the subject just for a minute. Why they got Christ's crucifixion wrong? Because on Passover, the next day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the day of Holy Convocation, which means it's a Sabbath. Mm-hmm. You don't work. It's not the weekly Sabbath. It's on any holiday. It's a holy day. You don't work. And so in the Gospels, it'll say he was crucified because the next day was a Sabbath. Well, they automatically said, well, that's a weekly Sabbath. So that means a weekly Sabbath is Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. So he had to end up dying on Friday because the next day is Sabbath. No, that was the holy Sabbath. That was the day after Passover. It was not the weekly Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it just shows you here. And the Gentiles don't know this. And so when they see a Sabbath, well, that's Sunday. Well, it's not Sunday.
Saturday.
It's not Saturday either. It's actually Friday, sunset to Saturday sunset. That is, you know, that Yahweh made the day, and evening and morning was day one. It starts with the evening. It doesn't start, our day starts when?
Mid-morning.
In the morning.
Midnight.
No, what time?
Midnight.
Midnight.
Yeah.
And so we just got, it's nope, everybody's asleep when our day starts.
Yeah.
And so they just start at sunset. Once the sunset, that's a new day. And so it's not Sunday, it's not Saturday, it's Friday, sunset. So we got so many things. You got to learn the word. But that is the days of rejoicing. And you can also go to Deuteronomy 16, 12 through 15. Let's go to Luke 1:26. And his name is not Jesus. Yahweh did not name his son Jesus or Jesus or Jesus. These are all Greek names. And his mother was not Maria. It's not Mary. It's Miriam. Miriam is a Hebrew name that the Septuagint, the Greek translation, changed Miriam to Maria. Ave Maria. And so in Espanol, they're going to call her Maria. In English, they're going to call her Mary. And her name is actually Miriam. But let's go to Luke 1:26, and what Yahweh has his son's name. Okay, now the sixth month was the messenger Gabriel's sent forth from Yahweh into a city of Galilee, the name of which was Nazareth. Well, one other point I've got to make out. The Greek language, as Spanish, Espanol also, completely wipes out, well, no, they might have Jehovah. Yeah, but it completely wipes out Yahweh. There is no Yahweh. So in Greek language, the Septuagint, which is the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, erased Yahweh, our Creator. The English translation we have is Greek. No Yahweh exists. Yahweh has been erased from His Word. So we've got to realize that. Until Rothman brought that back by going with the Hebrew and not with the Greek. Mm-hmm. His name is Yahweh. Into a city of Galilee, the name of which was Nazareth, unto a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the name of the virgin was Miriam, and entertaining in unto her, he said, joy unto thee, you favored one, and it's going to be the Lord, which is Yahweh, because the Greek doesn't have Yahweh in any of his texts. Yahweh be with you. And she at the word was greatly troubled and began to deliberate of what kind this salutation might be. Does she know he's a messenger?
No.
No, he's a man.
Bless you.
It's just like, you know, Isaiah coming in here and saying, Yahweh be with you. Okay. Who are you again? You know.
You're in my bedroom.
He's not hovering with you know, wings coming around over you. It's probably scared her to death. And she at the word was greatly troubled and began to deliberate of what kind this salutation might be. And the messenger said unto her, do not fear, Miriam, for thou hast found favor with Yahweh. And lo, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yahushua. It's not Jesus, not Jesus. It is Yahushua. The same shall be great, the Son of the Most High shall be called, and Yahweh Elohim will give unto him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob unto the ages, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And if you go into Matthew, you're going to see, they're going to explain the name of Yahushua, which is Yah is salvation. The same as Joshua. So Joshua is not his real name either. It's actually Yahushua. Moses changed his name from Hoshea, which is salvation, to Yahushua, which is Yah is salvation. You know that in Numbers. Okay, let's go here. Do one. Okay, choosing Israel to grab Mashiach. Oh yeah, this is just fascinating here. Okay. This is a big event, and as we know, when he was born, who knew about it?
The Magi.
The Magi?
But they're not killing Jerusalem.
Well, the
shepherds. The shepherds.
Oh.
The shepherds. Okay. Now let's just think about this. So the shepherds find out this is the Mashiach. Mm-hmm. Do they kill people?
Oh, I sure.
Yeah, they do. And you can go through here and see that. Then he was circumcised. On the eighth day, he went into the temple of Jerusalem. And who met him there?
Simeon.
And did he know he's the Mashiach?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. And another woman who was
Anna.
Hannah. They say Anna, but it's actually Hannah, which means favor. They told everybody. So now you've got within 8 days of his birth, a lot of talk is going about the Messiah. We've been waiting all our lives. Shepherds were talking about the Messiah. Simeon is talking about the Messiah. Anna is talking about the Messiah. Well, how come nobody saw this coming 30 years later? What happened to this information? Because you should have been TikTok, I'm going to be listening, and he should come into his ministry at age 30. Mm-hmm. The Mashiach. Guess who else knew about it? But we know about the Magi when they came. And it says all Jerusalem got their attention. That was about, 16 months later. Herod knew about it. Jerusalem was stirred. And they know the child is 2 years or under. The Mashiach is 2 years or under. So they all know about it. But it seems like when Yahushua started his ministry, it's all gone. Nobody knows anymore. And you should say, everybody should have known Jerusalem because of what testimony that was given ahead of times. So that's interesting that nobody saw that coming. Mm-hmm. No, or just erased it at some particular time.
Like fact checkers.
Yeah. Let's see here. And I think that's it. So here's the chart for the chronological order of the events surrounding the birth of Christ. And so you're going to see during the course of a bit, and this is, I'm not going to read it to you, but it's going to show you, document how this happened when Herod died, his conception. Get attention on that. Let's go December 4th, B.C. Gabriel appeared to Miriam in Nazareth, conception of Yahushua Mashiach. So that's December and December. Why? Because you count back 9 months from September, you get into December. And Mary travels to Judea this year, cousin Elizabeth. And so that was December 4 B.C. Then he's born September 11th, 3 B.C., the birth of Yahushua, first day of Tishri, sun in Virgo with the moon beneath her feet. And then it goes into these other stars that the Magi keep seeing. And it's like Jupiter and Romulus.
Regulus
in conjunction with Leo. And it goes on and on and on until all of a sudden they follow the star, his star. And that's when they end up arriving around 2 B.C., up here in Jerusalem, 2 B.C., Jupiter visible over Bethlehem before dawn as the Magi travel there to worship or bow down the Christ who is more than 1 year and 3 months old. Magi depart for Persia. Yosef, Miriam, and Yahushua flee to Egypt. So we'll go ahead and end there. And if you want to see the book, Jesus Christ, Our Promised Seed by Victor Paul Weirwell. You can buy it on Amazon used. And we'll end there. We'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father according to 1 Corinthians 14, a prophecy. Well, Father, we thank you for celebrating the conception. This is December 20th. Perfect. The conception of our Savior. Your beloved Son, your only begotten Son, Yahushua Mashiach, and we thank you, Christ, for not only living for us, but being tortured for us and then dying for us and living for us right now as our mediator to our Heavenly Father. So we thank you for these words. Rejoice in all the inspiration that issues forth from my words. My words will put life in you. My words will make you grow. They will fertilize you, and you will grow up and reproduce many seeds and deliver other people from the power of darkness. But you must feed on my word in order to be fruitful. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll see you next year.